peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today I come dressed in my Kaunda suit, named after President Kaunda of Namibia, Africa, made for me near Mount Kilimanjaro, and seemed fitting because the theme of our sermon today is enjoying Team Jesus over the years. It's a sermon that is meant to be a compliment to most of you here, because over the last 13 years, for some of those years, you have supported missionary work in Africa, Finland, also in Ecuador. And today, I would like to give you your Lord's thanks for what you have accomplished. I'm going to review what went on. If you'd be kind enough, if you wish to, there's an outline which I'm going to follow very carefully for brevity of time. The first part, a lot of information. The second part, a lot of humor. And so may the Lord bless us as we hear his word today, as it is based on Matthew chapter 28. And there we will have verses 18 through 20, which you have followed this directive for the last 13 years here at Bethlehem and others in other places. The Holy Scriptures say, when Jesus came near, he spoke to them. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to keep everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always until the end of time, that is, until the end of the age. Well, little did I know what God had in mind for my life. Oh, there was some background work he had me do down at East 30th and Prospect around Zion Lutheran Church. At East 30th and Cedar Central, working with little children from that inner city neighborhood, teaching them on the front steps of Zion. First week I said, what do I teach them? There were like 50 kids all of a sudden showed up. It was a man from India who was going to Cleveland State who said, Dr. Phil, look how the kids hang on you. You ought to start a Sunday school. So we did at this German church, 50 kids the first week on the front steps there on Prospect Avenue. I said, I better do something they all know so we can communicate. I'll do David and Goliath. Not one kid had ever heard of David and Goliath. And from there on, a lot of improvisation. And finally, the church left us come inside when it got too cold in October to stay out. It was a culture shock to them. Well, it was kind of a culture shock to me also, and to my wife Inez. For 5 years, along with a place called the Dream Center, we worked the neighborhood every Friday night and Saturday. And during that time, I became, well, the head of the religion department at the nearly all-black school, our Lutheran high school, Lutheran East. But I still didn't have a clue what was happening. And then, after that background, things became cemented. One Saturday night, a man who had worked with me at the Bible Society where we translated the New Testament, well, he had started an organization in Macomb, Michigan called Lutheran Heritage Foundation, and I went to hear his presentation. I was overwhelmed with what they were doing on the mission field worldwide. And now that I look back, I say, well, Mr. Dumb here had to go up, kind of like Isaiah, here am I, send me, send me. And I said, is there any way I can help and be a teacher? That was Saturday night. By Monday morning, he informed me I was going to Africa. I thought it would be maybe Russia, Romania, Finland. No, it happened to be Africa. But there were a little few surprises there. He informed me that when I was going to leave in a few months, I had to raise all my own funds. I didn't know that one. And then besides that, I had to come up with a name, and the name that struck me, I'm sure the Lord led it, Team Jesus for Africa, which has now become Team Jesus for the Nations because we have expanded and gone out. Well, the opportunities came. The first one was landing in Entebbe, Uganda, and its counterpart, Kampala, meeting missionary Gillard, and all of a sudden I was teaching in a tent in Kampala, because I love to teach, as you know. And through the years, I have probably done more teaching in Uganda than any of the other African countries. And just to add a little humor story from my wife, I come and we take a picture of me teaching all the children. And she says, I see the Gillard children are there from the missionary. I said, how do you know? You don't know them. She says, they're the only two white kids that are in the group. I never noticed color. The man who picked me up the first year, when I got back the second year and he met me again, I thought, oh, he's black. Never noticed that, because I was in so many cities during those years where I was the only white guy in the entire city or in the bush among the tribes. Kind of scary at times, and yet not too much at that. Well, things started to happen. I flew from Entebbe down to Yambio. I should really say up. That's in South Sudan. There's a difference between Sudan, that's north, and South Sudan is below. And our seminary was located there. And wow, the first week, I baptized two little babies, Martha and Daniel. Had a reading from Daniel today. Daniel, I had a picture with him 2 years ago. He is now 14 years old. All right, baby Martha, when I got back for my second time, she had died at 6 months old. Oh, that won't move you like the story I'm going to tell you in a little bit. But over the years, many baptisms. Look at them there at number 3. 68 baptisms in one day. The Lord, as I was teaching this mass of people in this building where you could hardly see, where there was no air, I said, all of you who are baptized, raise your hands. There was hardly a hand that went up. I said to the pastor, why aren't these people baptized? I said, I'm going to teach them about baptism today. Drop my topic and taught them baptism, and said tomorrow, if you believe in your Lord Jesus Christ, come, we will baptize you. 68 came. Some walked almost all night home and then during the morning back and got there in the afternoon. They're on fire for Jesus in these foreign countries. Oh, Gulu, Uganda was a good one also. I was teaching, oh, you want to talk about sweating. No light, no air coming in. Corrugated area, sitting there. And I had this one lady, there she was, nursing her baby right there in front. And with the other hand, taking copious notes. She was a real kind of Bible scholar person. So we were going to baptize these 16 kids, and she said to me, I don't have a name for my baby for baptism. Ah, opportunity. I said, how would you like to name her Philip with two L's? That's not biblical, that's my name. She said, good. So I have a little baby over there who has now grown to be about 12 years old, if he is still alive. You have no contact once these things are done. Then I also did two at Engeta. I have to tell you the story. These little kids and the people, they'll do anything for the missionary. So I thought I'd play a trick. I said, wow, do I like those new gym shoes you have on? I said, the local, I want those. I think those should be mine. He takes them off, and with tears, yep, I gave them back. All kinds of stories that you have there. And then we baptized near Masindi, Uganda. That's the place where Humphrey Bogart made the African Queen, filmed it. We stayed in that same hotel where he stayed. It's the same place where I think Hemingway tried to commit suicide twice and finally succeeded, the writer Hemingway. We moved on to baby Moses getting baptized in Juba, pastor's son. And then, oh, this was a good one when I went to Tanzania. Tanzania, as you may call it. I baptized two little babies in a church service, and the one was named Ishmael because his father was a Muslim and the mother was a Christian. And the father wanted to get the baby back, but she was a college student and would not give it back. I didn't have enough guts. I wanted, as I was baptizing, to say, I baptize you in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Ishmael, Isaac, and his last name. But I chickened out on that. I wanted him to have really the line that Jesus came from. Well, number four there, one time I was out in the bush after it was dark around a bonfire with ants climbing around Mr. Dumb here, who had sandals on, not too bright, and teaching 35 children, or excuse me, 53 children, 36 women, 15 men, and I knew nothing about the Akoli tribe, except the last time I just taught, the last two times in Africa, I had two students, brilliant, from the Akoli tribe. And one of them is now back in Kenya, having just graduated, and he wants a camera and a computer projector so he can teach the Akoli people that he is now pastor to. So what happened? Like, wow, 10 years before comes to fruition a little bit later. Well, I got to have the honor of holding the very first two pastoral conferences where we got the pastors together from South Sudan, and I taught them for 2 days, two different times. Nobody had ever thought of doing that, but your monies helped make that possible. Then I taught seminary students, as you know, three different classes of men who have now become pastors. 2 years for the first class, 2 for the second, 2 years for the third and got to go down to South Africa on your dime and teach at Pretoria at Swanee Lutheran Seminary. Also traveled to Tanzania, held pastoral conferences, taught in different cities. Very, very interesting. And then through a person who I found in Florida who got me a group of people who still support me to this day, he moved to Cuenca, Ecuador, invited Inez and I down, and twice I taught laypersons in Cuenca, Ecuador. Oh, the second trip was quite a trip. Inez will remember this one. I got to the airport, and I am not a light packer. I had 10 tubs of stuff, materials, clothes, whatever, and they wouldn't put it on the plane because we went through Detroit and they only had puddle jumpers to get there, to get to Amsterdam and on to Uganda. So I am on the plane, and a friend of mine and Inez, they are UPS, and it only came to $5,000 to ship it over to meet me. Well, she didn't have that much in her credit card, called Kathy here at Bethlehem, didn't have that much in our account here to borrow, and in some way got it together, got the materials, and off we went to teach. Oh, one of the great things, you see it there at 9, the bat surprise. Well, we stayed in not such great quarters in Yamio. I had my own room, and I noticed one day that the ceiling was starting to swoop, and a little bit later it is swooping more over the days. So I had David Uganda, my only student that came to South Sudan from Uganda. He climbed up one Saturday afternoon, and he got the bats that were, they go out about 10 at night, come back at 4 in the morning, hunt mosquitoes. They're very valuable for that. And he took all these sleeping bats, about 30 of them, threw them out the window, and an African in his bare foot, as they hit the ground, he stomped them to death with his bare feet. Then he shoveled the next Saturday all the dung of the bats out and made a pile this high on the ground. That's what was making the ceiling sink. So, some nice experiences. Well, on my third trip, where the seminary students were on vicarage, Dachi and I, we traveled around all of South Sudan to the big cities, to Tambora, to Wau, to Malakal, around to the capital of Juba, and back to Yamio, and taught all the way along. One of the things that I remember real well, and a pastor who is still in touch with me, maybe the best student I ever had, he was in Wau, I call it Mosquitoville. Couldn't teach them till 4 in the afternoon because they had jobs during the day, and we would teach until it got dark around 7 and so forth. And I didn't know Matthew too well. I knew the kid, he had a motorcycle, Boda Boda. 2 years later, here's Matthew in my class. So one day, I'm watching Matthew while we have a break, and he's studying science. I said, "What are you studying there, Matthew?" He said, "Oh, these are the notes I took at Wau 2 years ago when you were there." You think the Lord doesn't know how to do things? Wow. And of course, one of the greatest surprises I had was my last time in Africa, where while I'm teaching, they're handing out a booklet. a translation into Swahili, the language that they speak there in Kisii, Kenya. That's a good distance from Nairobi. And it looked kind of familiar, the cover. And lo and behold, it was a booklet that I had produced at the Bible Society in Fairview Park 25 years before. And they had translated it into Swahili. It was a composite of the Gospels, putting Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John together from Gethsemane to the ascension of Jesus. And so something you do many years before, wow, it hits Africa at a later time and is still being used there today. Well, it was my privilege over the years to teach many Bible topics, from general information to Romans 2 times. Oh, and also teaching the study of the last things called eschatology. But then came a very sad thing also. Tomorrow I'm going to show this to the children. They've seen it here before. Some of you have not seen it. You take a sheet of paper, I've pre-folded it to save time, and you simply fold it like this and you get a half a house. Then you fold it again and you get a full house. And then you fold it over like this, you got a half a house or church again, and you fold it one last time, and you stand here, and for the children tomorrow, and you the big children, we take this and we just cut it right down the middle here, okay? And we look at it here, and lo and behold, wow, what happens here? Wow, it doesn't look like it did much. Wow, I think I cut wrong. Hmm? Well, let's take the other half here. Oh, the only thing is those little pieces of paper that fell down there, if you put them together, they spell this. Who comes up with this stuff? I don't know. But either you believe in him who died for you on this cross, or you spend eternity here. Well, you say, how does that tie together with your sermon today? Let me tell you a story. One Sunday morning, while the church service was going on, they asked me to come out and teach about 150 children who were going to be bused to another town in order to do some singing. And I did that little cutout there, not knowing how important it would be. Because you see, on Tuesday after that, and there's a river with a current out behind the seminary, there were 4 little children playing, and they were floating a Pepsi can or Coke, and the can got away, and the one child jumped in, and the current caught him. The second child jumped in to save the first, the third jumped in to save the second, the fourth jumped in to save the third, and they all drowned. A mother lost 4 children like that. You should have seen the funeral in Yambio town. Everybody showed up. Now the mother was Roman Catholic, and some of the children went to church with her, but one boy came to the Lutheran church with his father. That child was in that Sunday school class 2 days before he drowned. You see, when you support the Lord's work, and Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me, send me." And there were many times that I wanted to say, "Here am I, Lord, don't send me." Because I really don't want to go back too much. And yet we went. My wife always said the first year he went, I worried what was happening to him. The second year I worried because I knew what was happening to him. And the third year I turned it over to the Lord. There were lots of tension times. In fact, if you will turn your sheet over, as the Team Jesus started to grow, we found helpers, donors, in all of those states that you see there, from PA to Michigan, with Ohio being very strong, Texas, Florida, excuse me. But in the process, had a lot of humor going on also. The first year I went at Pastor Gillard's, there was a missionary nurse, and I gave her my blood pressure kit. Not too bright. I should have kept it and done it. Because by the second year, I was over-medicating on, I was taking my regular dosage. And I'm at the internet cafe, and I fainted right there on the floor. They helped me up, and I thought, I'm okay. I went out to the outhouse. The outhouse is a hole in the ground with lots of stuff around the hole, sorry to say. I fainted again and fell right into it. Then had to ride a boat back, trying to hang on for dear life, whether I would faint again. One of the fun things was when I got to Tanzania, we were right by Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest mountain in the southern hemisphere. And I always kid, I climbed to the bottom of Mount Kilimanjaro. Most are climbing to the top, but you had to climb up to get to the bottom. So I felt that was an accomplishment for a guy who was already in his 70s and not doing so well. Oh, and then one of the great stories I have is Atunga was my favorite friend. He was my translator. And one day we're riding along in Tanzania in this car, and I see this guy with this shirt. The lion shirt. You see, this window is my favorite of all, because my favorite prophecy in the Bible of Jesus is Genesis 49, the Lion of Judah. I said to Tunga, "Stop the car. I gotta have that shirt." We went up, talked to the guy, said, "How much you want for that shirt you're wearing?" He gave me a price, I said, "I pay it." He sent home for them to send him another shirt, and off I went with this shirt. Little kind of interesting stories along the way. One that was scary was my Obama stuff. Oh, one wasn't too bad. I had an ear infection, so I went in Yambio to the doctor's office, which was a dirt floor. Didn't know if they had cleaned any of the instrument. Everything looked dirty and so forth. He examined, gave me something for the infection, and I said, "Well, doc, what do I owe you?" He says, "Nothing. Haven't you ever heard of Obamacare?" True story. But the other one was that while I was in kissing, I fainted having too much blood pressure medicine. And after I fainted and came up, I thought, well, I'll walk over to the bed. Fainted again, fell along a baseboard like this. The scars are still here because they had to put several stitches in. But when I got done, and they bought me a hat so I could cover up all the bandages, And I got them teaching for a whole week, the pastors, totally tired. And they said, oh, by the way, this high school right next to us, our Lutheran High School, they have 800 students, and they want you to come over and give a lecture. And then the principal came up to me and he said, by the way, when you are done with what you want to say, we want you to talk on the subject of homosexuality. Okay. Now, I got 800 students in front of me. They don't look like me. I got the entire faculty behind me, and I'm supposed to speak on this topic. Now, that was okay. I didn't compromise. And when I'm all done, the principal comes up and he says, we would now like student Obama to respond to your talk. Uh-oh, I'm coming home, Lord. Because this was the territory where President Obama's father had been a politician in this area. And there was the idea of homosexuality is okay. Was I ever surprised? The student stepped up and he said, thank you very much. We are all against homosexuality also. I shall live another day to travel. True stories. Oh, then in Tanzania, a phone rang while I was teaching. I said, I'll take that phone. It was the head bishop of that whole territory of Meru in Tanzania. Later on, a year later, the archbishop said to Atunga while I was back in America, he said, you know, I really wasn't happy with him taking my phone away. But he said, you know what? In the days to come, I started to think. I was starting to think I'm too important, prancing around like a bishop. And I've had to learn humility. Reminds me of the girl that was in Tanzania class with all the men. She was a pastor. They have women pastors in the Lutheran Church in Tanzania. And the guys were looking ahead, and my notes had Paul saying a woman should not speak in church. Well, when I came to that topic, she had to be gone for a funeral. When she came back, she said, what did he say? What did he say? He said, you shouldn't be a pastor. That's what he said. And she told Atunga later, if I would have known that Bible passage, I would never have gone in the ministry. So you see, teaching becomes very important to hook people into the Bible that they know what God is saying. Of course, F there on that second sheet. Ah, yes. Wonderful time. I get done preaching at the campus in Kamani. That's near Mount Kilimanjaro. And they come and they hand me a live chicken while I'm in my robes. Now, I'm not a farm boy. All I remember is cutting chickens' heads off when I was a kid, seeing it happen and running around like a chicken with its head off. And was I happy when they said, oh, you don't have to keep it. You can give it to this widow here. Boy, did she have a chicken real fast. Then I got to Siha, Tanzania. And they hand me a platter with a goat. Now, I've never eaten goat meat. They said, well, you can keep this entire goat yourself and eat it, or you can give it to the group here and we'll have it for me. Wow, I had that handed back and I ate a little bit of a goat just to be polite when in Africa do as the Africans do, you know. Oh, you'll like this one. I went down to Florida and one of the congregations there, Peace Lutheran, they had a Sunday school group, and they made me this little thing of Africa with animals and handed me 99 $1 bills with the message, go and find the other one. Got it? He left the 99 behind and went and found the lost sheep. See, this is what you have made possible through your sacrifices of sending like Missionary May or having Harold teach the people in Africa or myself. We are carrying out that great commission. Go, teach. And then there's that, oh, I love F there. That's one of my favorites. One of my very, very best students who we put through after seminary days with contributions at Pretoria, 4 years of advanced study. He then helped me teach on Zoom this last year. Brilliant kid, knows many languages, very fluent. He comes into the classroom one time and somebody tells him something he hasn't heard before. He says, oh, that's breaking news to me. He's been watching too many of those little captions at BBC on the television, breaking news, and just saying, that's news to me. Oh, I remember also the great Dachi story. He was the principal or the head of the seminary. Now, Dachi, you got to know, he's as black as they come. And we traveled. And we're in Lao, what I called Mosquitoville. And after I taught, we're out at 10 o'clock at night eating at the hotel. And Mr. Dumb here has sandals on, not too bright again, and shorts. And the mosquitoes are just having a feast on me. I said, Dachi, are the mosquitoes eating you up? He says, no, they can't see me. That's the kind of humor you have and the things that you mean. Well, sayings in Africa, gee, if it says dip lights, that means dim your lights while you're driving. Diversion ends, that means construction area is over. Oh, a meat market, it's called a butchery. Oh, and the bus that goes around town carrying you, it's called the city hopper. Hop around the city, okay? No overtaking means don't pass. No passing zone. And my favorite was Plan B Bar. The guy that has trouble with his wife and leaves the house goes to Plan B Bar in order to handle his problems. Some other things that were, well, sad. I'm not very good at technology. I have my phone. And in Uganda, I learned how to turn the flashlight on my phone, so they started to call me Dr. Technology. And in Tanzania, because in the seminar, they would want to know where a passage is, I would tell them the passage, quote it, and everything. They started to call me Bible Robot. Now, not to my face, somebody came and said, that's what they're calling you behind the scenes. People, what has happened in the ministry that God has permitted me to have, the glory goes to God, first of all, and the credit then goes to you who have supported, for the simple reason it doesn't happen without help. And so today, I now have a worldwide mission. At the moment, as the funds come in, I'm supporting seminars for a Lutheran pastor in the Philippines. I told you about the need for a computer and a projector so that the Akoli people can be taught in Kenya. I have a doctor, a medical student. I've supported him through the third year and we will support him through his fourth year to become a medical doctor in Uganda. And again, in Uganda, we have a seminary student by the name of Okello, not Ojello, that's a different one, Okello, that we're helping him through with his studies to become a pastor. And the beat goes on. So I come today to compliment you, thank you in behalf of Jesus, encourage you not to become battle weary. There are always more people to reach. May we do the work that Jesus has given us to do. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.